Acts chapter 4, and our text for this morning is verse 31. Verse 31 we read, "And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness." I want this morning to deal with this aspect of the person and work of the Holy Spirit, namely, preaching or speaking in the power of the Spirit. Before His ascension, the Lord Jesus delivered to His disciples what is commonly known as the Great Commission. Namely, "Go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature." Mark 16, verse 15. This task, the Savior knew, could not be undertaken without divine assistance. And this assistance, the Lord promised, they would receive if they tarried at Jerusalem for a number of days after the Lord's ascension. That assistance they had been promised would come in the form of power, the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Acts 1 and verse 8, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." And so before they began preaching the gospel in Jerusalem, and Judea, and Samaria, and before they took the gospel to the uttermost parts of the earth, the Lord Jesus said that they would receive power. And that power would come from heaven in the form of the power of the Holy Ghost. This holy, heavenly power came to them on the day of Pentecost, when, Acts 2 verse 4, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. The effects were immediate, because we're told that they spake as the Spirit gave them utterance. They were able to preach the gospel in the various languages of the Jews who had gathered there at Jerusalem for the Passover, out of every nation under heaven. They were given the gift of languages. If you take time to read through Acts 2, you will find that there were Jews from 16 different nations. And so the apostles had to learn and know 16 different languages as they were going to fulfill the words of the Great Commission and preach the gospel to every creature. Not only were they given the gift of languages, but they were given that power to preach the gospel. And when Peter lifted up his voice, after having been filled with the Holy Ghost, he preached with power, and we are told 3,000 souls were added to the church on that day. Peter preached with power. The power of the Holy Ghost was given to him. And so we can see just how much the power of the Holy Spirit is needed. If we are to preach the gospel, if we are to be witnesses for the Lord. For the Lord told the disciples they were to tarry at Jerusalem, and they would receive power after that the Holy Ghost would come upon them. And he said, ye shall be witnesses. But the disciples were not the only ones who were to be witnesses for the Lord. We're all to be witnesses. We know and love the Lord Jesus as our Savior. Then we have a bounden duty to be a witness for the Lord. And we will be an effective witness for the Lord if we are filled with the Holy Ghost, for then we will witness with power. Is that not what is lacking today? Is that not what is needed today? The power of the Holy Ghost. God's people to be filled with the Holy Spirit and to witness and to speak and to preach the power. Power of the Holy Ghost. So we want to look at this particular aspect of the person and work of the Holy Spirit. And I want to look at it in the context of this reading. Verse 31, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken, where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. They spake the word of God with boldness. I want us first of all to consider the plan of Satan. This passage of scripture we've read this morning reveals to us the plan of Satan. The Sadducees were grieved that Peter and John had been preaching through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. They were grieved at that. Acts 4 verses 1 and 2. Why were the Sadducees grieved? Very simple. Because the Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection. They didn't believe that Jesus Christ had actually defeated death and the grave and had risen victorious. This led to the arrest and subsequent examination by the Sanhedrin of Peter and John. The outcome of this examination was to threaten the apostles and command them never to preach in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ again. Look at verse 17. But that had spread no further among the people. Let us straightly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. Here was their plan. The plan of the chief priests, the plan of the Sadducees, the plan of the Sanhedrin. We must say this morning it was the devil's plan. It was the plan of Satan. Anyone who seeks to hinder the spread of the gospel is doing the devil's work. That's what these men were up to. They said that it spread no further. Let us threaten them and command them that they're not to speak in this name ever again. That's the plan of Satan. It was, first of all, you can say it was a heartless plan. Of course, the devil doesn't have a heart of compassion for the needy. He's the hard taskmaster that we read about in Scripture. And Peter and John had been used by the Lord to bring salvation and healing to a lame man who had lain for many years at the Gate Beautiful. Man who was lame in both his feet. Acts 3 verses 2, 6 and 7. And when through the power of the Lord Jesus this man was healed, he jumped up and he leapt up singing and praising God. And then went with Peter and John into the temple for to worship. So quite a change had been brought about in this man's life. He had been a beggar for years. And here in an instant, through the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ, this man was healed by the power of Christ. And now, we find that the members of the Sanhedrin want to silence Peter and John. There's a heartlessness about that. You would think that if these men, Peter and John, had a message and preached a Christ who could not only save individuals but heal them and give them a better life, you would think they would be encouraging that. But no. They wanted to silence the apostles. And you know that plan is still in operation today. A plan to put down Christianity. A plan to silence the preachers of the gospel, the preachers of Jesus Christ, through Christianity. Which through the preaching of Christ rescues lost lives. That's what the message of Christianity does. For it is the preaching of Christ which will rescue lost lives from the social evils of our day. We know that to be true. The preaching of the gospel, the preaching of Christ will rescue men from a life of drunkenness and drug addiction and gambling and every evil under the sun. When men and women hear the gospel and are saved, they're made new creatures in Christ Jesus. And they're changed. And they become good members of society. They no longer give the police trouble through their drunkenness and their drug addiction and their gambling. Homes are changed as well as lives being changed. Remembering hearing the story of gospel preacher who was standing in the open air one day preaching the gospel. He had just held a 3-week gospel campaign. A number of people had got saved in that campaign, and he was having this open air witness, and those who had got saved in the campaign came and stood with him in the open air, and he was preaching and telling people about those who had been saved. And one man stood up to the microphone and was giving his testimony, and the preacher stood back. And he stood with his hands behind his back, listening to the other brother testifying. And he says as he stood there, he felt something been pressed into his hand. And he turned round, and it was a little boy. And the little boy was pressing a packet of sweets into the preacher's hand. And the preacher looked at the little boy and he says, "What's this for?" He says, "That's for giving me a new daddy." Because his father had got saved in the mission. And getting saved, the wee lad had a new daddy. That's what the gospel does. That's what the preaching of Christ can do And yet instead of encouraging it in this day, the devil's out to hinder it. And the devil's crowd are out to hinder the spread of the gospel. It's a heartless plan. You notice also that it was a plan to hinder. The word of the Lord was being preached and souls were being saved. Look at verse 4. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed. And the number of the men was about 5,000. Men's lives were being changed and transformed. Wherever there is success in the preaching of the gospel, you can be sure that the devil will be busy trying to hinder that work. Never fails. Paul faced the devil and his attempts to hinder his witness and the spread of the gospel during his ministry. For in his first letter to the church of Thessalonica, he wrote, "Wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us." Paul wanted to go to Thessalonica to minister to the church there, to preach the gospel, to preach Christ. But Paul says, Satan hindered us. And Peter and John now face the same satanic opposition. We have read there in those verses 16 and 17 that they wanted to silence the apostles and commanded them never to speak in the name of Christ ever again. It is an opposition which can only be faced and overcome by the power of the Spirit of God. Let me show you something. Turn to Acts 13. Return to Acts chapter 13 and verse 7. Acts 13 and verse 7. Which was the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. The deputy wanted to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them. The sorcerer withstood them, hindered them, stood against them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. The deputy wanted to hear the word. The Spirit of God was at work, and the deputy wanted to hear the word. But Elymas withstood the preachers, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, O fool of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking men to lead him by the hand. But look at verse 12. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. That's the only way, dear child of God, to combat the devil and the plan of the devil to silence the witness of God's people and the preaching of the word. That's how we overcome him, by the power of the Spirit. The devil will try and stop you from witnessing. You have an opportunity to witness somewhere, and you can be sure the devil will withstand you. And he'll try and keep you from witnessing and mentioning the name of the Lord Jesus. But what do you need? You need the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what Paul had. And Paul dealt with the saucer. He couldn't have done it without the power of the Spirit. And through the power of the Spirit, the deputy became a believer. So the devil was defeated. It's the plan of Satan to hinder the spread of the gospel. It's a heartless plan. It's a plan of hatred as well. We can see from this chapter what was really behind this plan, which was inspired by the devil himself. The authorities that had arrested Peter and John questioned them about the message they had preached. And this questioning demonstrated the hatred that they had for the Lord Jesus. It all had to do with a hatred for the name of Christ. Look at chapter 4 again and verse 7. Chapter 4 and verse 7. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, "By what power or by what name have ye done this?" By what power, by what name? Peter replies in verse 10, "Be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus of Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified," there's boldness, "and God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole." They were interested in the name that Peter was preaching. And then in verse 12, Peter again mentions the name, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." It was then that the authorities told Peter and John they didn't want to hear this name. We've read those verses in 17 and 8. "We don't want to hear you mention this name. We don't want to hear you preach this name. We don't ever want to hear this name again." What does that demonstrate? It demonstrates a hatred for the name of the Lord Jesus. That's what it demonstrates. And believer, in all this world today, tell me, can you think of a name that is more hated and despised and blasphemed than the blessed name of the Lord Jesus Christ? I can't think of any name. You can hardly go into a mall, you can hardly go into company without hearing somebody taking the Lord's name in vain. The name that is the sweetest name to all saints is as bitter as gall to the ungodly. They hate that name. So in this world that is so hostile to the name of Christ, what do we need? We need a holy boldness. A holy boldness to stand up for that name. A boldness to speak up for that name. And if necessary, a boldness to suffer for that name. That is what the Lord had in mind when he said to the disciples, "And ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me." The word there for witnesses is the word that we get our word martyr from. And ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be martyrs. How could they remain faithful to the Lord, like our great reformers and men who died at the stake, rather than recant and deny the name of the Lord Jesus? How can they go through the fire and go through it with boldness? I'll tell you how. By being filled with the Holy Ghost. Because when a man is filled with the Holy Ghost, he then will speak with power and with boldness. We need boldness for the Lord in this world that hates the name of Christ. We must have this boldness. And we will only have this boldness if we're filled with the Holy Ghost. So we have the plan of Satan. And then in this Acts 4, we have the prayer of the saints. Following their arrest and then their threatening, the two apostles were then let go. And as soon as they were set at liberty, they went to their old friends. They returned to their church fellowship. You see, Christians do not do very well without fellowship. Don't do very well on their own. The Christian is not meant to be a loner. He's meant to be in the company of those of like precious faith. That's why Paul, when addressing the Hebrew believers, said, "Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together." Paul was telling the Hebrew believers, you need to be together. You can't be a loner. Matthew Henry wrote, "Christ's followers do best in company, provided it be in their own company." And here we have the apostles, and once they were set free, where did they go to? They went to their own company. So they returned to. So it was natural then for Peter and John, upon their release, to return to their own company. Verse 23. And being let go, they went to their own company. And what did they do there? We're told, and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. Here we have, first of all, their report. They returned to their own company, and then they gave a report of what had happened. The other apostles and believers had obviously would want to know what happened. So they gave the report. This report would have enlightened them. They were informed about what had taken place. They'd been enlightened. And so, believer, dear child of God, today the better informed we are about what is happening in this world today, and the more and more we will see the need to be filled with the Spirit and to live in the power of the Spirit of God. We need to be informed of what is happening today. We need to be informed. We need to be enlightened as to what is happening in the religious world today. We then will know how to pray more intelligently. And we will see our need for the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Have you not been surprised when speaking to some Christians just how ill-informed they are regarding religious affairs? They had no idea that the Church of Rome wasn't a Christian church. never entered their mind. They're ill-informed. They're not aware that there was such opposition to the Christian church in this world today. And many know that a few weeks ago in Turkey, three Christian Bible-believing pastors were slaughtered. Tortured, first of all, mercilessly. And then killed in front of their families by Muslims. Need to be informed of these things. You're not surprised when you speak to some believers, you find out that they had never heard about the ecumenical movement. They've never heard about the apostasy. What does that mean? They've never heard of the dangers of the modern versions of the scriptures. And whenever you tell them, they're surprised. Need to be informed. So in this world that is so hostile to the name of Jesus Christ and His gospel, we need to be kept well informed. And that will make us realize that we need the power of God. If nothing else, believer, instills in our hearts the need. The spirit of Antichrist is already at work. How are we going to live above this? How are we going to live victoriously? We need the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, then we will speak for the Lord with boldness. We'll not be afraid. It enlightened them, this report, and it also would have encouraged them. This report would have encouraged the other apostles and believers. It would have encouraged them to go on preaching. Knowing that their brethren had been told to be silent, this would have encouraged, surely, the believers to say, well, nobody's going to silence us when it comes to preaching the gospel. And they would have been encouraged to go on preaching. That's what persecution tends to do. The enemies of the gospel tried to put down the Reformation. In attempting to hinder and put down the great work of the Reformation, really they only helped to spread the great work. Herod tried to do the same. He slew James and was going to kill Peter. But we are told that Herod died, Acts 12, and the word of God grew and multiplied. And when Paul was imprisoned at Philippi, we're told in Philippians 1 verse 14, and many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, by my imprisonment, they wax confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. And when the apostles came and reported to the others what had happened, well, like those in Paul's day, they were much more bold to preach the word. They were encouraged to go on preaching. This report would have encouraged them not only to go on preaching, but to go on praying. Persecution tends to increase prayer and prayer meetings and a believer's prayer life. When Peter was again arrested, later we read, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing off the church unto God for him. And when we realize what threat this hostile world is to the spread of the gospel, and to our families, and to our homes, and to our children, we need to pray more. And that's what the apostles did. That was their response. They'd received the report. Now we have their response. And we are told how they responded. And being let go, they went to their own company, verse 23, and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord. It was their immediate response. When they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord. When they heard the report, they didn't run around wringing their hands and saying, "Oh dear me, what will we do now? Oh, what are we going to do with this threat? We're not supposed to mention the name of the Lord Jesus. What are we going to do?" Well, the apostles were like the men of Issachar. For of them it was said they knew what Israel ought to do. And the apostles knew exactly what to do. Pray. Just like Daniel. When Daniel was told or knew that the writing was signed and it was signed against him, no one in the kingdom was to pray to the God of heaven. No one in the kingdom was to speak in the name of the God of heaven. And what did Daniel do? When he knew the writing was signed against him, he went up into his house, into his upper room, the windows being open toward Jerusalem, and he knelt down and he prayed. He knew what to do. Like our Savior. When Satan entered into the betrayer, even Judas, what did Christ do? He led his disciples to Gethsemane. And there he agonized in prayer. Likewise, in this day of apostasy and spiritual declension, the church ought to give herself more to prayer. In this day in which Satan is fighting tooth and nail to hinder the spread of the gospel, the church ought to be more on her knees in prayer. In this day when the spirit of Antichrist doth already work, we as Christians ought to be praying for the fullness of the Holy Ghost. So we need. We might boldly stand up for Jesus. We live in a world of compromisers. Men would rather compromise rather than have any trouble. We need to pray that we'll be bold for the Lord. We notice then also their request. We go through this quickly. For since the apostles had been threatened and told not to preach in the name of Christ again, a decision had to be made. Should they comply and hold their peace? Or should they obey God rather than man? Well, really, as far as the apostles were concerned, there was no decision to be made. They were just going to carry on as they had done before. There was no decision to be made, as seen from verses 29 and 30. And now this is their request, this is their praying. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness that they may speak thy word. So we know now what their intentions were. They weren't going to keep silent. They were going to speak and they needed the boldness of the Holy Ghost to do it. And then in verse 20 and verse 30, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. There's a case of brethren, as you were. Authorities have threatened you, they have imprisoned you. No doubt the next time they'll beat you. But we are praying that God will give you a boldness to preach and go on preaching. Whatever they say about the name of Christ, they were going to preach that name. Just like Paul in Ephesians 6 and verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. That's what we need. We need the Spirit of the apostles. We need the Spirit of God, that we may witness and preach boldly for the Lord. And finally, you have the power of the Spirit. Notice that the Lord answered their prayer immediately. For we're told in verse 31, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken. Here you have this great force. The place where they were meeting, where they had assembled together, was shaken. That word shaken is the same word that's used in Acts 16 verse 26, where we read about the earthquake in Philippi, and it shook the foundations of the prison. It is used by the Lord himself when speaking of his second advent, and he said, the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And this shaking reminds us of what took place in the valley of dry bones, when the wind of the Spirit blew down that valley, we read, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And so we can see that when the Holy Spirit comes in power, there's always a shaking, as there was in the day of Pentecost. Men are shaken to the very foundation of their being. The church is shaken. Believers are shaken out of their lethargy and out of their apathy and out of their lukewarmness and their coldness. When the Spirit of God comes, there's a shaking in the church. And I tell you, that is what we need. Need the Holy Ghost to come and shake us and stir us up and get us out of the state of lukewarmness and set us on fire for God. You have the force of the Spirit, and then you have the filling of the Spirit. After they had prayed, the place was shaken. We're told they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. This is now the third time. And we read about Philip, or about Peter being filled with the Holy Spirit. So it's not a once for all thing. You're not filled with the Holy Spirit once and for all and forever. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit again and again and again and again. The day of Pentecost, Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit. Acts 2 and verse 4. Here in Acts 4 and verse 8, then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them. So he's filled again. And here in Acts 4 and verse 31 in our text, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken, where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Three times Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit. So it is with us. We need to be filled again and again and again. We need that infilling of the Holy Ghost. And you notice something? The result is always the same. On the day of Pentecost, Peter was filled with the Holy Ghost and he stood up and he preached the gospel with boldness, and 3,000 souls were saved. Here he is in Acts 4 in verse 8, he's filled with the Holy Ghost. And when he had finished preaching, we read in verse 13, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John. And here in Acts 4 in verse 31, they were filled with the Holy Ghost and they spake the word of God with boldness. Same result every time. Do we then not need this infilling of the Holy Ghost? Sure we do. Because we need this holy boldness for the Lord in this wicked world that hates the name of Christ. It was the force of the Holy Spirit, the filling of the Holy Spirit, and the focus of the Holy Spirit. What was it that had grieved the Sadducees and the elders and the priests? Acts 4, verses 1 and 2. And as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captains of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. That's what had grieved them, the preaching of a living Christ. The preaching of a Christ who had risen from the dead. And when they were filled with the Holy Ghost after being imprisoned and threatened, and they prayed and they were filled with the Holy Ghost, what was their message? Verse 33, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. That was their focus. They preached Christ. They preach Christ. And believer, if we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we will be more focused on Jesus Christ. If we are filled with the Holy Ghost, we'll not be ashamed to witness for Christ. If we are filled with the Holy Ghost, we'll want to make Christ known, because that will be our focus, making Christ known. Is not what the Savior said when He has come, the Holy Spirit that is, He will testify of me. That and again would surely encourage us to pray for the fullness of the Holy Spirit, that our lives, our walk, our witness, our words will be more focused on Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads in prayer.